It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. We have a couple more guests to go, but still time for you to get in here at 855-242-7285. Matt is up next in D.C. Matt, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. This is my second time around here. I called a couple hours ago, and I think you had a hard time hearing me.
Right.
Can you hear me now okay?
Yeah. It wasn't your fault. I had interference here.
Okay. All good. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for taking the call. First-time caller. I wanted to get your take on a couple of SEC wide receivers in the draft. I am a Chicago Bears fan, and there's buzz connecting them to George Pickens and possibly John Mechie, and wanted to get your take on the two of them, if you felt like one may be more day one ready than the other. And then just sort of ironically in connection with Pickens, the Bears have actually taken a shot at a couple of former Bulldog wide receivers in recent years. Riley Ridley, I want to say, was a third or fourth round pick.
Right.
Javon Wims was a seventh. Neither of them worked out well in Chicago. In a bit of a humoristic way, I'm a little gun shy because
of that.
Let
me say this first
of
all.
Great player.
I know all these guys, but I am in no way an NFL expert. But trying to answer your question objectively, I would take George Pickens. I thought he was a phenomenal talent who at times, was a little bit, all over the place. But in terms of raw talent, I think he's phenomenal. If he can stay, stay healthy, which, he obviously got hurt and completely dedicate himself. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's continue with Jeff, who is next up. Hey, Jeff, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Look, it's the old saying, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. Is that in effect?
Right. That's exactly right.
Well, I heard you on one of the shows this morning just talking about Pete Rose and, getting set out talking to him.
Oh, yeah.
Just talking about some of the stories that he told. Well, did he ever tell the story about Joe DiMaggio when he was in Vietnam?
No, he did not, but I would like to hear it if you know it.
Well, I can't, Paul. It's kind of ugly what he was telling, but he Joe DiMaggio asked him to pour water over him where he was out in the jungle after in Vietnam. He said, right up there, I'm talking about in the jungle. He said, DiMaggio wanted him to pour water on him as he took a shower. And you can imagine what he was talking about. But Pete Rose, hearing Pete Rose describe it and talk about everything that went on, you got to Google it or YouTube it sometime.
I will check it out. You better believe it. Hard not to be a Joe DiMaggio fan.
Hey, you need to listen to it.
I will do it during the next call. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Jamie is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Jamie, we're doing great. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to say if you haven't been to the Bacchanal and the Caesars, you need to go to that buffet. It's excellent.
At Caesars. Okay, it's right across the street from where I am right now.
Yeah, it's awesome. But what I called about was, we talked before. I hope you remember me.
Of course.
And my girls did get in at Bama, and they're going to be in the flag. We talked about that before. But anyway, what I called you about was, I want to piggyback a little bit on legend. I'm going to go legend on you for a little bit. Bear with me.
Please.
Jim, please go get yourself checked out and see what the hell's wrong with you so you can get readmitted and get the crazy house on the T-Town campus back open so you can be the first admitted. Because you need help, brother. And we all need Jesus, but I believe you need Jesus just a little bit more. And as a Bama fan, and the way he talks, there's no way he knows anything about sports, because I listen every day for the last 15 years, and I listened to you in Birmingham when nobody knew you nationwide. And Jim needs to get it together and quit thinking about the glory days, as he wants to call it, and get in tune with what's going on now.
Well, I don't know if he'll take that advice, but I certainly appreciate you calling. What's that?
I said I just hope that they listened to me and they gave you that raise that I wanted you to get last time.
Well, you better keep calling them, okay? Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
See you.
Apparently, someone would like to respond to that call and others. Jim?
Do you believe that? Do you agree with that redneck that said, I don't know nothing about ball, and he's heard the show for 15 years? Where are you getting these morons? That's another thug from the bully who thinks he's a bully. You think this so-called radio terrorist legend and that jerk that just came in with him, that must be his brother-in-law. You think that I'm scared of them? You think they've got anything on me? You think they're as good as me on knowledge? These are dumbass rednecks, and you know it, Paul. And you really don't like to protect me because I'm hated. I know that. But I'm the best. I'm the GOAT. I'm the GOAT on this show, you moron. All right, I want you to answer this question, Paul. Was he right? Do you agree with him that I know nothing about sports?
No, of course not.
What makes you? I can't believe a scumbag like that would even say that.
I just let it go because you've heard me say this before. I think sometimes when you don't respond to someone, it gives it less attention than you do by responding.
Well, not in my case of replying to him. Maybe in your case of being the host, but you usually respond to I man when he insults me. I don't want to make it like you're against me, but it seems like sometimes you really are.
Well, I'm not against you, Jim, but I'm intuitive when the call comes in, and sometimes it just didn't seem like it was really worth responding.
What can he possibly mean when he's so obnoxiously wrong when he says, I need to get myself checked in, checked out, and I don't know nothing about what I'm talking about? Oh, I mean, that guy, if there's ever a fool, that guy's a fool. Would you agree with that?
But Jim, this is about the 20th time I've asked you this question, but I'll ask it again. Why do you care what some guy that you don't know and nobody knows says about you?
Why does Legion care? A Legion. He's not Legion. Why does Legion care when he comes in every day? Because he's a thug, and he cares what I say. And he thinks he can order. He told me, that's an order. Don't call anymore. What a joke that guy is. He's a complete joke. I used to handle bullies like him in school. They landed hard, Paul. They landed hard. That guy, he thinks he can bully somebody because he's a former convict. That's what he thinks, but he's wrong, and he'll find out someday, somewhere along the line, how wrong he is.
Thank you very much, Jim. Appreciate it. Why don't we just take a break? Don't you think we need one? Heading to the break. We're under 2 hours before the first pick here in...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The truth nears here in Las Vegas. We're under 2 hours before the first pick. Dan Orlowski's been talking about it forever, especially today. Dan joining us from just down the street. Dan, thanks for the time. I know at this hour there's a lot going on behind the scenes. What do you think is the biggest question as we get ready to see the names unleashed?
Yeah, I think there's a ton of questions, and that's what makes this draft so fascinating. Who truly goes number one? Do the quarterbacks go in the first round? Do they go late? Which one's the first one off the board? I also say this, like, there's two teams, Paul, in the NFL that are, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years, legitimate Super Bowl contenders, in the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers. And realistically, right now, they are not. On paper, they're not. Now they both have 2 first-round picks. So which two of those teams do we leave tonight, you know, saying, okay, they've got these players, the Green Bay added speed at wide receiver, Kansas City got defensive line help, added a receiver. Which of those teams kind of that we see waking up tomorrow morning are bona fide Super Bowl contenders? The New York market, 40% of the top 10 picks with both the Jets and the Giants having 2 selections. So, you know, there's so much unknown and intrigue in this draft. While we don't have maybe the individual superstar power that we had last year, certainly at the quarterback spot, man, there's so much that can happen. I think there'll be a lot of trades, so it should be fun.
Dan, everyone has has difficult choices. That goes without saying. But of the first 5 or 6, you got Carolina. They're trying to decide whether to go for a quarterback. You have everyone else trying to figure out which lineman to go for. Who do you think has the most difficult, gut-wrenching decision that could literally mean success or getting fired?
I think it's the New York Jets. You know, the New York Jets have the number 4 pick and the number 10 pick. Now, I have heard that the Jets love Jameson Williams, the wide receiver from Alabama. But their general manager, Joe Douglas, can't afford – now, Jameson's not going to play probably till November. Certainly not feel healthy enough to go be impactful because of the ACL tear. I don't believe that their general manager, Joe Douglas, can sit back and kind of play the slow game in September and October. So if he thinks Jameson Williams might be a better receiver, but is he not capable of waiting and then decides to take maybe a safer pick of an offensive tackle or Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State because those guys are going to be able to contribute right away and allow the Jets to get off to a good start. But then you run the risk of not getting the guy necessarily that you want in the long run. I also think the Carolina Panthers, are they going to be forced to just take a quarterback just because they don't have a second or a third round pick? Only Sam Darnold really right now at the position. Do they jump at 6 and take Malik Willis from Liberty strictly because he's a crazy athlete? And then Green Bay. I think Green Bay is fascinating because, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously has had a heavy hand in what has transpired at that organization over the past couple of years. They took a quarterback in the first round 2 years ago, and that dude's not going to smell a snap for the next 2 years. And people's lines get on the job when you miss on first-round picks like that. So, again, there's so much intrigue with a lot of big names.
A couple of weeks ago, you know, there were a million rumors about Baker Mayfield, and now they've calmed down. One senses that tonight will help dictate that. But what do you think is going on with Baker Mayfield, especially for those clubs who need a quarterback?
Yeah, Paul, I think Baker leaves the draft as the steal of the draft this weekend. I don't think Baker gets traded tonight. I do think Baker gets traded this weekend. Certainly, number one, the way that the personality has become abrasive a little bit in the NFL, teams have to do their due diligence on that. Can Baker be the kid that has that chip on his shoulder, the walk-on and fiery competitor, but also not be abrasive in an NFL locker room with adults and rub people the wrong way? I think the second thing is it depends on the vantage point, Paul. Like, the last time we saw Baker Mayfield healthy, he was 21 of 30 for 320 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs. That was week one of this past season. Week two, he did the labrum tear. If you go back to 2 seasons ago, he's a top 10 player. So these teams, are you guys looking at Baker Mayfield in 2021 when he played hurt and played poorly, or 2020 when he was healthy and really good? And then third thing is his contract. You know, he's owed $19 million. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is getting his money. So are you a team that wants to trade for Baker Mayfield and pay him $19 million when it might be a starting quarterback competition? No. So you've got to get Cleveland to know that if you cut Baker Mayfield, you're paying him $19 million. So why not pay him 14 of that $19 million, take my 5th-round pick, and give me Baker Mayfield? I don't believe that the market for Baker Mayfield is as small as it's kind of being made out to be. I think teams are playing it close to the vest. Paul, here's the truth, man. Baker Mayfield has had better seasons than the NFL than Tua Tagovailoa. I am a Tua guy. I think he's going to be really good. Baker's had better seasons. He's had better season than a Marcus Mariota, the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. He's had a better season than Jameis Winston, the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. He's had a better season than Daniel Jones. So I don't, again, if there's a fourth or fifth round pick that you can work out with Cleveland and they eat some of that money, man, Baker Mayfield has the opportunity to walk away and make some GM look very smart.
A couple of weeks ago, we asked you about Matt Corral. You were very honest, and that's what has made you who you are today. Have you heard anything since in indicating what and where he could end up?
I haven't, no. I haven't heard anything of him. You know, when you – and I had dinner with some people who are very much so connected to the draft last night, and his name did not come up. You know, I think the thing that it's such a difficult evaluation when you're paying attention to Matt Corral is because, you know, when you watch his tape, the draft is about projection, right? But you pay attention to production. The production is there, but the production feels better than the projection. And no matter how much you love the competitor and how much you love the athlete, at the quarterback position, Paul, it's a lot of the evaluation is done backwards in the league. You know, it's about the mental more than the physical, where every other position is about the physical over the mental. And I think it's very difficult to sit there and if you're a second-round team or a third-round team and you want a quarterback, you've got so much evidence on tape of Sam Howell running a relatively similar offense, at least the end result, wanting it to be similar, and knowing, okay, he got from the first receiver to the second receiver, and the accuracy didn't drop. I've watched Sam Howell be smart as a runner and take a slide when it's necessary. You don't see that a lot out of Matt Corral. So I think that if you're those teams in that second or third round, you're going, well, we want a quarterback, and if both those guys are on the board, you feel way more comfortable taking Sam Howell because the production was there, the tape matches, and he also has a lot of talent that you can project into the next level.
I wanted to go back and close with Malik Willis because you alluded to him earlier as, you know, just insane talent. 3 years ago, he was demoted to third-team quarterback at Auburn, and we all know what has happened since then. How do you feel about him? And despite all that talent, what would hold someone back from taking the shot at him tonight early?
Yeah, I think he's the only quarterback in this class that you feel deserves to be drafted in the first round based on his talent, his traits, his skill set. He's the guy that when you watch his tape, he makes the most plays that look like plays that happen on Sundays by Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. He's got the evidence. I don't care what happens in college to kids nowadays because the political aspect that plays its part, the recruiting aspect, the favors aspect, why this guy doesn't play here because this recruit's going to get mad and leave and transfer and then you might lose a kid from his college, whatever. So I don't really pay attention to all that and put much merit in it. I think there's two reasons you don't draft Malik Willis. I don't agree with him though. You think he's too short and you're concerned that that's going to impact his ability to throw the ball in the middle of the field. If that's your belief, then you got to get better coaches. That it's their job to find the strengths and the weaknesses, amplify and kind of hide a little bit. And then if you think that he plays too slow from the pocket and you're too worried that he's not going to develop quickly enough, because that is his flaw, Paul. He waits for people to get open and he doesn't necessarily anticipate a ton of windows. Not all the time, but there's too much evidence on tape of that. If that's your concern, I can sit down and have a conversation about that. But at least physically, he's the only guy that displays what Sundays look like at the quarterback spot right now.
Dan Orlowski, nice to take time out as he gets ready for a very long night. Dan, many, many thanks. Appreciate it. As we head to the break, we will continue with more of your phone calls, more guests. We're live from Las Vegas, the NFL draft about to begin right outside here.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Final 30 minutes. Crowd beginning to emerge toward the front. That's where the first pick will be made in an hour and 28 minutes. We are just so excited to welcome to our studio here in Las Vegas the brand new head coach at Notre Dame. I mean, 36 year old man. Somewhere Newt Rockne is going, that's interesting. Marcus Freeman, coach, congratulations. I was telling you off the air, and I'm going to say it now. I've never seen when it came out that Brian Kelly was leaving, within minutes a team coalesce around somebody like they did with you.
Yeah, it was such a humbling experience, and it reminds you to do the things the right way. I think you can be a great leader. You can have high standards and hold people accountable, but still be a teammate. I like to tell our players all the time, I'm a teammate. I'm a captain, but I'm a teammate, and I'm not an owner, and I'm in the fight with you. And I think that when you give them your heart and you earn their trust, then you're able to push them even farther than they could ever imagine. And so that's always been my style of leadership, and I hope that was a little bit of the reflection in the video.
But what's so striking, Coach, is sometimes you see that when a player plays at Notre Dame or at whatever school, has been on the staff as a GA, you really just got there.
Yeah.
You'd been there a year.
Yeah, I was hired last January, and that happened in December, so it wasn't even a year. And again, I don't know how long it takes. I wish I had the magic formula, but I think that reaction shows you the trust they had in me as a leader. And, you know, again, as I tell all of our coaches, we're going to be able to push these young people as far as they trust us. And so that trust means having a connection. That trust means giving them your heart, and it's not always just X and O's, but truly investing in these young people's lives. And so.
And you don't need to get any more credit. I mean, you're the head coach at the University of Notre Dame, but we had Luke Fickell in here about an hour and a half ago, and you played such a big role in helping put that program together, and now here you are. I know that it's not like you've had a lot of time to take a walk and think about what you're doing here, and you only have to open at Columbus against the school. You're very familiar with it, with Ohio State, but I mean, do you this is a silly question to ask an adult, but do you comprehend what has happened here in the last couple of months?
There's days. At first, it was such a whirlwind, and I didn't know what was going on, and you were just like, I'm the head coach of Notre Dame, and then it became a little bit normal, right? It became your everyday responsibility, but there's still those aha moments, right? And today, we actually had to do a little show with Peyton and Eli Manning, and you do some of the research on Newt Rockne. A man that was 30 years, you talk about me being young, he was 30 years old when he was named head coach, and 6 years later won a national championship at 36. And so it's another reminder of the opportunity and the honor I have to be the head coach of this place. But every once in a while, you get those aha moments that you remind yourself you are the head coach of the University of Notre Dame.
Yeah, and I know that there are quite a few programs out there with tradition, and we talk about them all the time here, but Notre Dame is just a little different. It's almost as if college football began there. Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with Newt Rockne, because he doesn't get the credit today to a younger generation, but I mean, he was college football. He was a personification of everything that was good.
Absolutely. You do research on Newt Rockne and understand, we talked about the shift today. He's the one that created the shift, the forward pass, and the little intricate details that people are still using today in college football. The ability for him to say, hey, at Notre Dame, we're going to play coast to coast. We're not going to be in a conference. We're going to play anybody in this country and play the toughest schedule imaginable. Those were things that Newt Rockne thought of back in the early 1930s. And so it is, again, an awesome honor to follow in his footsteps and many others.
Coach, you're this top assistant. You nearly, if I remember the story correctly, you nearly went to LSU the year before. Did you not?
So that's right.
I mean, your name was all over the place. You decided to go to Notre Dame to play for a guy who ends up going to LSU. So you find out Brian Kelly is leaving. You have offers. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day is someone you're close to. Brian Kelly offers you. Things started moving toward you, but I'm certain that Jack Swarbrick, who is as respected as anyone in the industry, calls you in. You have to have a conversation, and I'm sure somewhere along the lines he said, well, why should I hire you, or what would you offer to this program? Whatever you said was right. What did you say?
Well, at that point, we were fifth in the country, and I told Jack, he said, why should I hire you? Are you ready? What are you going to do for this program? And I said, there's two things I believe in my heart is that will take us from five closer to the mountaintop and hopefully at some point reaching the mountaintop. And number one is that's recruiting. We have to get the best players in the country that fit Notre Dame. Not every young prospect fits Notre Dame, but the best ones in the country that do fit Notre Dame, we have to go get them. And that was number one. We have to get the best talent in the country that we can. And two is continue to centralize our culture, right? To continue to get these guys on offense and defense and this coaching staff to truly unite and become one. Right, and I truly believe that when two teams are talented and equated, that the team that truly has that culture where they love each other and that you're going to fight for each other, those usually are the ones that come out on top. And so let's get that talent. Let's continue to mold and fix this culture to where we want it to go, and let's see what the results are.
And you had already played a key role in helping to build that class there, which was quite a, you would think Notre Dame automatically gets great recruits, but that was another era when Notre Dame didn't have to do very much. Today you do. When in the recruiting world, what do you think separates the great coaches from the rest?
Well, I think it's one is being able to listen. You have to be able to listen to young people. Too often we talk, and sell, and we don't really listen for what the young person is looking for. That's the number one thing we talk about, is listen to these people, talk to the parents, talk to the champions that are around them. But the second thing is, I believe we're selling something at Notre Dame that nowhere else in the country sells. And that's truly being able to offer that football excellence, that truly you can play this at the highest level, development for the NFL, it can happen anywhere in the country, but then you get this education on top of it, right, that is so powerful, and it's a top 10 education in the country. And then the network of the Notre Dame network, it's so strong, it's worldwide. And so we tell young people that you don't have to go somewhere just for football, you don't have to go somewhere just for education, but give yourself every opportunity to have success.
But you juxtapose that, Coach, with today when we're in a new world, and it's happening right in front of our eyes, where players, rightly or wrongly, probably rightly, if you're 18, 17 years old and somebody offers you money, how do you deal with that aspect of it? Because you have to be competitive, mm-hmm. In addition to everything you've said, but you also have some other school who's throwing all kinds of things at these top players.
Yeah, well, we obviously show these prospects what our players are capitalizing off in NIL, right? And our players are capitalizing NIL just like any place else in the country. And so we show them that, but there's no way that you can come to Notre Dame for a certain amount of money and have success there, because you're going to be forced to go to class every day. There's 8,500 kids there. That's not a huge school, right? And so you're forced to go to class. You're forced to study if you would want to obtain this Notre Dame degree. And so if that's not off the top of your mind that, hey, I want to be a first round pick, but I have to get this education because it's so strong and important, then you won't make it at Notre Dame.
Talking to Coach Freeman from Notre Dame about his ascent to becoming the head coach, you said listen. I'm particularly curious because you're right. Very few people listen to anyone. We all think we know everything. What do you hear when you talk to the players and their families?
Well, I think they can tell you, hey, Is this a person that's looking for playing time? Is this a person that's looking for NIL? Is this a person that's looking for education? You know, I think it's important to listen. I was talking to a young man the other day, and his mom said, wow, we just need to get an academic plan. And when you hear that, bam, you get on the phone right afterwards. Hey, set up an academic plan, a Zoom with this young man. And so if we can listen a little bit more, right, they'll tell you what they want to hear. And then we're able to sell that to the young people.
Recruiting has always been the lifeblood, and there are all kinds of definitions of recruits. But you do have a product. Mm-hmm. I think it helps. If you don't have a product, you better be really a good salesperson. But in terms of youth, and you know, we've seen this in 4 hours. We've seen two coaches at the top of the Power Five at an incredibly young age. That doesn't necessarily give you more energy, but it does give you something that other coaches don't have.
Yeah, I think it's the ability to connect, right? The ability to be able to understand something that young people are going through, because we just did it, right? And that they can look at you and say, okay, hey, it wasn't like yesterday, but there was not too long ago, Coach Freeman played this game, and you know, I know some of the things they go through and understand I can connect with them. And as I said earlier, I think as the ability to sell it, I'm a teammate. Right? And that you can trust me, because when we have success, it's going to be about you. When we have failures, guess what? We're all going to point at ourselves. I'm not going to point at you. We're going to point at ourselves and say, what can we all do to get better? The ability to relate to young people, I think, is really, really key in for me. And what to me makes me a positive for these young people is that, hey, you can truly relate to them.
Notre Dame has been on the precipice of a national championship for about 30 years. So they've had some really close calls. Yeah. Lately, it seems like they can get, this is narratives here.
No, you're right.
They can get to the playoffs, but they can't win in the playoffs. How do you change that?
As I think it was what I said earlier, it starts with talent. It starts with, and we have great young football players in our program. How do we continue to build that roster of elite talent, of the best players in the country, right? Not settling. I think it's easy to go to the profile schools and say, hey, you're a Notre Dame kid, you're a good football player, come here.
Right.
Let's go identify the best players in the country first. Then figure out, are they a fit for Notre Dame, right? And truly figure that out. Talk to admissions, talk to our people that look at transcripts. And if they are, be relentless. Be relentless.
But was Notre Dame doing that already?
I've only been here for a year,
right?
I've only been here for a year, and that was always my mindset when I got here as a defensive coordinator, and I did it on the defense side of the ball. But now I think as the head coach, I'm driving it, right? I'm driving it. I told the coaching staff, I will be the lead recruiter with every recruiter we have. That to me is one of my strengths, is the ability to be relentless in recruiting, be able to, you know, connect with these young people. So how do I utilize that? And not just young people, the parents. Right, and that's something that we got to do a better job of, continue to connect with the parents, because a lot of times it's easy to talk to kids, it's easy to talk to them, they're easy to talk to, it's fun, but you have to be able to connect with parents.
And it's a tricky issue here, because I mean, yes, Notre Dame is self-evident, but you look at them, whether it's the Alabama game or, well, I think it was a couple years ago against Clemson. Something happens. Mm-hmm. What happens is the other team has superior players. It's not really rocket science to figure out why. It just seems like you have to, and you know it better than I do, but I'm pushing for, there's that invisible line that you have to get past when it comes to talent.
Yeah, and that's the reality, is that we can't recruit every kid in the country.
No.
You know what I mean? But those individuals that have shown to really care about their education, that have shown the ability and the drive to study and to work hard, those are the ones to me that you have to convince what this opportunity entails for them, right? If you're able to do that, identify them, then convince them, you know, that this is really what you want. Through examples that are current, through examples that have gone through Notre Dame, I think if you can convince that group of guys, right, that pool, not every kid in the country, that pool of guys that fit Notre Dame, convince 25 of those guys that this is the right fit for them, you can really close that gap on the best teams in the country.
Wow. All the best. I know you've got a million other places to go, but we really appreciate you coming by. It's been an incredible pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Thank you very much. The head coach at Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. We are heading to the break and back Just in time to wrap this program up. We're live in Las Vegas, and the crowds are getting ready for the show about to begin.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Welcome to Vegas. That's a pretty familiar sign, and who would have ever thought this show would make it on the most famous sign in Las Vegas? Squirrel is up next.
I appreciate you taking my call. And I know you never listen to the show when you're out, but yesterday Peter Burns, who did a great thing, he asked my buddy Jim what three callers he would take to Las Vegas with him. And I hate to brag on myself, but I made the cut. I was one of the
first. That's quite extraordinary.
That's big. But my question is, I don't know that Jim's ever been out to Las Vegas, and being practically a man of the cloth, do you think he'd enjoy Las Vegas, or
it's too decadent.
They call it Sin City
I was up this morning, Vegas time. I was walking through the casino to get some coffee at about 4:30 in the morning out here, 4 o'clock.
And it was still hopping.
People are still playing slot machines. I don't know. There's just something inherently wrong with that. Jim would not approve. He would not bless that.
No, he would not. That's why I've been there a few times. And I don't think he'd like it. But the first time I went for my company was like in 89 or 80. And the travel girl said, oh, I love booking people to Las Vegas. We can get such great rooms. I got you a place downtown for $29 a night. And I go, okay. So I flew in. It was down by the Gold Nugget, but it wasn't Gold Nugget. You know what I mean? So I get in there, and I asked the girl, I said, can I just see a room, Keith, and check it out? And when the hooker followed me into the elevator, which smelled like pee, by the way, that should have been the red flag. But I went on up, opened the door, immediately walked down. And I said, is there a Holiday Inn?
I thought that $29 sounded familiar to me.
Yeah, so she said, there's a Holiday Inn, the largest one in the world, is across from Caesar's Palace, a showboat. So that's okay. I drive down there, and it was a huge one there. It's gone now. They put something else there. But I go into the front desk, and there's an older couple ahead of me, and they're asking for a room. And the guy says, sorry, a lot of conventions were sold out. So they walk off, and I come up, and I flip my whole, you remember, they were Holiday Inn gold card, you know, that you would get if you had a lot of points. And so I threw it up there with my credit card, and I said, I'd like a room. And he said, you got a reservation? I said, no. He said, well, we're booked. I said, well, what if President Bush showed up? Because it was the old man back then. He said, would you be able to accommodate him? And he laughed. He said, well, I'll probably find something. I said, well, he's not coming, man. Why don't you give me what you're going to give him? And he laughed. He said, I got one room for one night, but you got to check out tomorrow. And I said, sure. So I gave him a credit card. And you know, once you get into a hotel with a credit card, it's an act of Congress to get you out. So I didn't check out until a few days later. But if I had one word of advice for Jim, it would be to ignore Sling Blade and the other gutter rats that are coming at him, and just Jim be Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Just a few seconds left, but we'll give I-Man the final word here from Vegas.
Well, good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum. I tell you what, Las Vegas is the only place in the country where you can see your shadow on the sidewalk at midnight.
True.
Been there, done that. Stayed at the Flamingo. Is a great experience. You know, I was kind of listening to Jim yesterday going off on everybody, and I figured out what his injury was. His mama was whipping his ass for all them lies, and when she washed his mouth out with soap, he couldn't take it because he swallowed it, and guess what? She whipped his ass some more. Have a good day.
I mean, that'll be the final statement. We are done. We're out of time. The draft starts in an hour. We'll be back here tomorrow to recap it. Have a great night.